this place we make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But let us do it in the right spirit as we pause to prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, y'all are awake this morning, and y'all haven't floated away yet. I thought we might have to sing a song about, there was a children's song about Noah building the ark, and how many of you remember that song about Noah building the ark? Well, we're going to go back to our childhood this morning, and I want y'all to go back to your childhood with us. We're going to stand and we're going to sing This Little Light of Mine. And I want to see if you remember the motions to This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to do them with you. And don't be ashamed. Act like a child this morning. Let's stand and let's sing This Little Light of Mine. We're going to do all four verses.
Top that. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. We greet you this morning in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And if you're a visitor with us today, we especially extend a welcome to you and encourage you to please fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. Be able to give us an opportunity to get to know you better and for you to know more about our church as well. A couple of reminders. Tonight we have a great opportunity for everyone in the church body for food and fellowship. We'll be having a hot dog and hamburger social tonight at 5 o'clock. And following that, some free entertainment brought to us by an organization called Mad Science. And they're sending one of their very own mad scientists to do a little show involving science and a little bit of comedy. And it should be a lot of fun for the whole family. So I want to encourage you to come on out tonight at 5 o'clock to be a part of that. Also, as our youth are preparing for their mission trip this summer to Vermont, they are still in need of 8 prayer partners. And you may remember David talking about prayer partners, but if you haven't heard that, I want to remind you it's an opportunity for you to write a word of encouragement and a word of prayer for one of those who are going on the mission trip, either an adult leader or one of the youth participants. And they'll get those and be able to be encouraged by that, but you're also committing to praying for them each day while they're on that mission trip and even as they're preparing for that. So there is a board on outside in the vestibule with names on it. You can take one of those names, write down who you're praying for, and there's a packet with that same name on it in a basket below. Today as we worship, we are celebrating this image later from the prophet Jeremiah, a man who said that sometimes even when he tries to hold in the word that God gives him to speak, he cannot do so. It's like fire shut up in his bones. God is calling you today to be a messenger servant of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. With that spirit and with that challenge before us, let us continue to worship.
Our opening scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 86, reading verses 1 through 11. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all day long. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my cry of supplication. In the day of my trouble, I call on you, for you will answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we have gathered in this place today to glorify your name through our word, through our song, through the reading of your word, through prayer, through our actions, and through our thoughts. Father, may it all be pleasing to you. We are gathered in amazement of your presence with us, and we give you thanks this day for being with us. We lift this prayer in your Son's name, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, Come Thou Mighty King, Glorify Thy Name and Majesty. Please stand.
Thank you.
You may be seated.
Good morning. I guess this is the official invitation. The fish fry, churchwide fish fry, will be taking place this Friday. Also, before I forget, let me remind you all, the mattress set will be raffled that evening as well. Tickets are still available to see David, and that drawing will take place that evening. So just by a show of hands, who is coming to the fish fry, but more importantly, have you invited anybody? Don't be shy. The fish will be hot and ready and good. Okay. Well, I just wanted to let everybody know that we're ready. We're excited about that. And this year we really wanted folks to extend an invitation to a neighbor, friends, coworker, someone to come. And during this week, we'll let you all know what we're signing up. And just like last year, we're asking members to bring baked beans, coleslaw, and desserts. This church definitely has a sweet tooth. Everybody has signed up for dessert, to bring desserts. So we need a few folks to think about bringing some baked beans and coleslaw. So with that, look forward to seeing everybody this Friday, and we're going to have a good time and fellowship. All right?
Come on, Adeline. Hey, I got a present here, Adeline. Look what I got. All right. What do you think I have in here? Oh, Jerry knows because he helped me wrap it. What do you think there might be in this package? It's a secret, and we're going to find out a little bit later, okay? But I have something in here, but we got to keep it a secret for a minute. Do you have a hard time keeping a secret, Wes? Denise, does he have a hard time? Yes, I do too. You're not the only one. Christmas time, I can't stand it. I want to give the presents as soon as I buy them. I just can't stand to keep them till. How about you, Adeline? No? Huh? Oh, she's being shy this morning. Well, I can't. When I buy something, I want to give it right then. I just can't wait till Christmas. And when I was your age, I would snoop. Oh, my goodness, my mom and dad would get so mad because I'd go snooping, and I'd look in every closet, and most of the time I couldn't find anything, but I sure would look. And birthdays, now, this was when I was about 10, probably about your age, Wes, because I was in the band at fifth grade, and I found my bass clarinet. And she was so mad because it was a gift, and I found it for my birthday, and she was furious. Well, secrets. Is it good to keep secrets? Sometimes. It's according to what kind of secret it is, isn't it? What if somebody was going to do something bad? Should you tell your teacher or mama or daddy? Yes. Sometimes that you should tell about secrets, isn't it? But then sometimes it's not good to tell. Well, I want you to, Adeline, you want to open this? No? All right. Open this up, and let's see what's in this. That's so secretive. This is a good secret, though. We want to tell about this secret. You want to help him, Adeline? You want to go help him? No? Do you do that at Christmas time, take forever? Yeah? Uh-huh. Brian saying, yeah? And I want you to stand up and show everybody what's in this present, Wes. All right. Can everybody see it? Turn around and show the choir. What, so tell them what is our secret here, Wes. Tell them.
Jesus?
Jesus, right. It's a picture of Jesus. Now, our secret is Jesus. So Jesus wants us to share his secret. He wants us to tell us about his love for us. Okay? So he doesn't want us to keep his secret. He wants us to tell us how much he loves everybody. And
So that's our secret about keeping telling everybody about the love of Jesus. Okay, let's pray. All right, make hands, Adeline. Dear God, we know that sometimes it's okay to keep a secret, but one thing that we will never hide from others is our love for you. Amen.
Six. Let's stand if able. Burning me, fire of God. And this is to the tune of breathe on me, O breath of God.
Pray. Lord, thank you for this wonderful day and all that you have given us. Accept our offering that we give today, and may it do good to further your kingdom in your good name. Amen.
And so we like at the midpoint in the service to pause and hear again a word of scripture and allow that to center our hearts and minds for a time of confession. After we hear from the Gospel of Matthew, we invite you to pause in silence to allow the Lord to search your heart and your mind, and whatever still has its hooks in you from your old life, confess it and surrender it, and the Lord will make it gone. Hear this word from Jesus from Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 27. What I say to you in the dark, tell it in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs on your head are all counted, so do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Would you pause in prayer and confession? God, in the darkness and the silence and the stillness of night, you have whispered wonders to us of your love and your mercy. You have, from the pages of your word, brought to us light and life and a good word to share. Forgive us when we, in our silence, deny you. When we miss the opportunities to speak your truth and your love, when we miss opportunities to work some good in the lives of others, or to bring hope or peace or comfort. So often, God, we live our lives from one missed opportunity to the next. Again, we cry out, forgive us. Have mercy on us. Lord, we are not people of fear, but have your spirit of confidence. Because your word promises us that when we confess, that you offer us forgiveness and life and redemption. And so, God, it is as redeemed people that we pray, help us to not miss the next opportunity. Help us to not miss the next chance to bring gospel into the lives of the people that you place in our paths every single day. We are surrounded by people in need, Lord, and we cry out to you that you would be the God of mercy and grace and healing and hope and joy for all those who are hurting and broken and grief-stricken and battling sickness, cancer, disease, loneliness, for those who are homebound or shut in, for those who are unable to be with us, for those who have lingered on our prayer list for months and even years. May your spirit be with them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
is everybody today? Good. I'm doing good for a lot of reasons. I see my picture is finally up on the wall, which on the wall of shame, which tells me that you're going to keep me after all. Choir just sang one of my all-time favorite anthems. And this past week, I met someone famous. Now, I've only met two famous people in my life. One was set up and organized and prearranged, and it was very formal. It was meeting a former president of the United States. It was a big deal, but I can tell you my life aspiration is not to meet a professional politician. But I've always wanted to meet a celebrity, a famous person. And I've often played scenarios in my mind. How would I respond? How should you respond when you meet someone famous? And in all my world travels and traveling all over this country, never once in my life have I ever just spontaneously, randomly bumped in to someone of fame until last Thursday night. Last Thursday night, if you're friends with me on Facebook, you know that I happened to bump into the master of the Cobra Clutch, former Paris Island drill sergeant, the wrestling legend himself, and the living cartoon character who used to star in the animated series G.I. Joe. That's right, folks. I met Sergeant Slaughter. And I know he supposedly lives around here, but quite randomly, about 9:40 in the evening, Thursday last, I pulled into the gas station, the Shell, right here on the corner of Webb and Haggard, and there he was in all of his bald glory, pumping gas and washing his windows. Now, in my mind, throughout all my years of life, as I've thought about how I would respond to someone who was famous, I imagined that I would keep it cool, be very calm, say, "Excuse me, sir, I just hate to interrupt you right now, but I just wanted to say thank you for all the years of entertainment and enjoyment that you've brought me and so many people that I know." That's how I imagined I would respond. That is not how I responded. I stepped out of the car, and you probably know nothing about G.I. Joe or wrestling, but this was one of my childhood heroes. And so when I stepped out of the car, I said, "Oh my goodness, are you Sergeant Slaughter?"
He said, yeah.
"Oh, and can I have a picture with you?" So we took a selfie. And there we sat while he's pumping his gas and then he's washing his windows. He's listening to me tell about things that he has done, like he had never had any knowledge of these experiences. And I was talking to him about G.I. Joe and how my own children watched G.I. Joe and loved the character he played on that show and had his action figure and a signed picture of him. And And he talked a little bit. And after about 10 minutes of this, after a few wonderful classic one-liner quotes he shared with me and a few good stories that I'd never heard, we parted ways. And as I got into the car and rode off into the night, I started immediately thinking about how I acted and how gracious he was. And it made me rethink my sermon for today as we look at this passage of Jeremiah, my favorite book of the Bible, and definitely a celebrity of Old Testament fame. As I rode off into the night, I thought about how hard it must be to be famous. To wherever you go, people are going to recognize right away who you are, that you're different, you're special, there's something else about you, and they're going to expect something from you. In fact, we almost kind of have a need. There are bad celebrities, sure, who probably snub fans and ignore them, but good ones and beloved ones know that they have to fulfill the fans' need. So this guy, I imagine, whose real name is Richard Remus, wherever he goes, he has to be prepared to be on and to be gracious and to meet the needs of the fan. That wherever he is on vacation or pumping gas,
at 9:40 at a Shell station in Burlington, he never knows when there's going to be someone there who's needy, someone there who wants something, someone there who's going to engage him and expect to be engaged in response. And as I looked at our Jeremiah passage, I thought, you know, this guy, Sergeant Slaughter, does a better job of that than most Christians do in fulfilling our mission and our calling. How often do we find ourselves in a situation where we see someone who's desperate or hurting or hopeless, or we're engaging a casual conversation in the line at the market and we hear certain key words or clues that a person is struggling, or maybe spiritually awakening or open to the gospel? But how often in those moments do we say, I got to get home, or I've got somewhere I've got to be, or I don't have time for this, or this is not the right place for this, or this is not convenient to me, or I've got to get home and cook supper, or I've got groceries, I've got a meeting in an hour, I'm on vacation. And we walk away. The prophet Jeremiah tells us that this course of action is simply not a possibility for him. He cannot just let it go. He cannot just walk away. He cannot just roll the windows up and lock the door and carry on. In chapter 20 of Jeremiah, we zero in on verse 7 when he's praying a prayer. It's almost melodical in the way it's written. It's almost like a song, a sad country song, but a song. He says, O Lord, you have enticed me and I was enticed. You have overpowered me and you prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out. I must shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching me for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers. Essentially, what Jeremiah is telling us is that he sees himself as the servant messenger of God Most High. That God has called him as a person to proclaim truth, hope and warning, good news, and a fair alarm. And yet it's not an easy job being the servant messenger of God, because people are out to get him. He's got troubles and difficulties. People want to trip him up. People are waiting to entice him. People are watching and waiting for him to fail, to slip up and mess up and ruin his testimony, so to speak. But in spite of all of the challenges and difficulties in his calling as a servant messenger, he says, I don't really have a choice. Something within him is like a fire in his bones that he cannot overcome it. He cannot withstand it. It compels him. It drives him.
It leads him. It almost pushes him into those moments where he has to say what the Lord is telling him to say. He is a witness in danger. And it's a troubling job being a witness in danger. And yet, Jeremiah, time and time again, did not roll up the windows and carry on, did not look at his watch and say, I've got a place to be, never claimed to be on vacation or enjoying his day off. Time and time again, he spoke. He was the servant messenger. What a challenge. I'm challenged and rebuked by this passage of Scripture, because it is all too easy for us to simply turn the other way, especially when it's a challenge or a difficulty to speak the gospel. I would say that most Christians in our world today will live their life, they will go through their entire faith experience having never shared the gospel with even one person. Now, we invite people to church, don't we? That's easy. Hey, why don't you come to church with me Sunday? See, that's easy. But we have allowed that to become a replacement for proclaiming gospel. When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? Have you? I think that the reason we often don't, it's just easier to say, come to church, or to go to the pastor and say, I want you to go and talk with my cousin. He needs Jesus. It's easier to do that, but it's also hard and troubling to proclaim the good news for a number of reasons. Number one, it's simply not convenient. As I already noted, all of those reasons we might have to just walk away. We don't have the right time. We always have somewhere we have to be, don't we? We always have a good reason. It's not convenient. I'm in the middle of shopping. It's not convenient. I'm in a hurry. It's not convenient. And my favorite one, I'm on vacation. Can I not just sit on the beach and listen to the waves and smell the salt air and be with my family without having to be hassled with someone else's needs? Convenience is a pretty powerful demotivator. But so is fear. For us, it's going to be the fear of, how is this person going to respond? Are they going to unfriend me on Facebook because I talk too much about Jesus? Is this going to have some kind of repercussion on my job? Will this affect my career if I'm known as the Jesus guy? We fear that people might distance themselves from us, or that it might be uncomfortable, which is kind of understandable, but at the same time hilarious when you compare it to the kind of fear Jeremiah was faced with, real life and death consequences. It's always been the truth from Jeremiah's day to the times of Jesus and Paul, and even in some parts of the world today, that sharing the gospel can be deadly and dangerous. And we're worried about being unfriended. Fear is also a sad excuse. But not only are we demotivated by our need for convenience and our own fears, we fear that we might not know what to say. That's the most common thing we proclaim or protest. I'm scared I might not know how to answer a question, or that I won't know enough scripture to quote to them, or they might have some kind of concern that I'm not qualified to address. That's a fear demotivator too, isn't it? You may be very intimate with that one. I'm afraid I just don't know what to say. I haven't had the proper training. I need some kind of class, maybe. Interestingly enough, though, when Jesus gave us the Great Commission, he did not say, go and take a 10-week course on how to share your faith and get some good materials that you can pass out and
and make sure you have some acronyms to use. No, he simply said, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. And do not worry about what to say, Jesus tells us. For it is God himself who will speak through us. God will speak through us. It's also awkward. I think that's a demotivator. Just an unnatural awkwardness when you sit down with someone and you say, hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? That's awkward. We feel uncomfortable. It's not just about convenience or a lack of convenience. There's a lack of comfort in it. You might feel weird. Your heart might start pounding really rapidly and you're nervous. It's awkward. I can tell you, I remember vividly the first time in my life I ever sat down and shared the gospel with someone. We had a substitute teacher, and so there was chaos in the classroom, and everybody was doing their own thing, and there was just this right moment. I don't remember what it is that the guy sitting beside me said, but something opened a door, and I began to share the gospel, and I was horrified. My heart was pounding. It was awkward. I didn't know what to say to him. I didn't know enough scripture to share. He asked questions I didn't know how to answer, and it was hard and awkward and not very convenient. The last time I shared the gospel with someone was yesterday, and I was afraid. They asked questions I didn't know how to answer. I didn't know enough scripture. It was awkward, and it was not convenient. You know, it just never is going to be easy. No amount of training makes it easy. But Jeremiah says, in spite of the trouble, I cannot help it. What a challenge. What a powerful challenge from Jeremiah. I cannot stop myself from sharing the gospel. I have come to believe over the weekend, and maybe I believe this my whole life to some degree, but I believe that sharing the gospel is the ultimate definitive marker between someone who is a spirit-led disciple and someone who's just a Christian. A Christian is a person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've confessed their sins. They've asked for forgiveness. They've been baptized in the waters. They shook the pastor's hand. They prayed the sinner's prayer. And their name is in the book of life. They're good. But as far as the way they live their lives, their life is defined more by ritual and tradition. They go to church. Maybe every Sunday. Maybe only when it's convenient, but they go to church. They're probably in a Sunday school class. Maybe they're a part of a breakfast group that meets regularly. They give an offering. They believe in the law, but it's more the moral codes. Don't lie, don't steal, don't murder. There are other commands that don't seem that interesting to them, like go and make disciples. A disciple is a Christian. Plus, they're a Christian who has committed their life to the teachings of Jesus, to the Master. And rather than driven by ritual and tradition, they are spirit-driven, like a fire shut up in their bones. And they do things differently. And they're never on vacation. And they're never ones to find inconvenience or awkwardness or fear as a barrier. And something about the Spirit in their life drives them to proclaim the good news every chance they get. To me, that's a disciple. That's like the next level that we strive for. And I can confess there are days when I am a disciple, but there are many more days when I'm just a Christian. And when I think back to the words of Jesus that we heard just a moment ago, he said, if you deny me before others,
then I will deny you before my Father in heaven. And it causes me to shudder, though I know there is so much more about heaven and grace than just that one statement from Jesus. I am also very aware that silence is a form of denial. Let us pray. God, there are things that we must say, places we must go, and things that we must do if we are to call ourselves disciples. Help us to submit and surrender and to be Spirit-led. Amen. We invite you to respond to God's word this morning as we sing together our hymn of response, Here I Am, Lord. Please stand.
I'm not afraid.
Blessing as you go, and remain standing for our benediction response. May the one whose voice is heard in the night be the voice speaking through you in the light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.